Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London, I'm Josh Noble. The standoff between Venezuela's rival presidents turned violent yesterday when Juan Guaido, who is backed by the US and more than 50 other countries, issued a call to his supporters to take to the streets to oust Nicolas Maduro from the presidential palace. James Wilson spoke to our correspondent Gideon Long, who has been covering the events.
Gideon, we just heard Juan Guaido in an early morning video yesterday outside a Caracas Air Force base with dozens of National Guard members proclaiming the final phase of this uprising to finally oust Nicolas Maduro, saying he had the support of the country's armed forces. Can you take us through what happened yesterday?
Yeah, so the day started, as you say, with Guaido's call to arms, and he was flanked by Leopoldo López, who's the head of his party and one of the key opposition leaders in Venezuela. He called for people to come out to the airbase and support them. People did in large numbers. There were thousands of people who came to the airbase. It seems as though they tried to get inside and they were repelled. They then retreated to Altamira Square, which is in an opposition stronghold of Caracas and which has been the center of many opposition protests in recent years. There, Juan Guaido gave a speech in which he again rallied his troops and he urged the military. He said most of the military are on our side, and he urged those who were still supporting President Maduro to come out and support him. Meanwhile, we had various declarations from the Maduro side, from the defense minister, among others, saying that there had been a coup attempt and that it had been repressed and that they were still in charge. Juan Guaido's supporters then started to march towards the Miraflores presidential palace. And throughout the day, there were serious clashes in various parts of the city, and particularly around the airbase. One of the most graphic examples of that was we saw an armored car plowing into protesters outside the La Carlota airbase. By the evening, things had calmed down slightly. We heard that Leopoldo López had taken refuge first in the Chilean embassy and then in the Spanish embassy. Juan Guaido issued a video in which he confirmed that his action would continue over the next few days. And finally, to end the day, Nicolas Maduro appeared in the presidential palace. He had been silent throughout the day. He condemned what he said was a small coup attempt. He said that he was very much in charge and he still had the absolute loyalty of the military.
In terms of the size of the demonstration by the army, by the military in favour of Guaido, how would you characterise that? We saw there was violent clashes, but he doesn't seem to have had, in any sense, most of Venezuela's armed forces on side. I mean, what kind of level of support was he able to win over and to demonstrate yesterday?
I think secretly they will be disappointed with the level of support that they got, although of course they're not saying that today. People did come out onto the streets, but we've seen that over the last several years in Venezuela, that people are willing to come out onto the streets and demonstrate. The problem is that we're talking here about civilians and they don't have the power to bring about the change that Mr. Guaido is calling for. And if you look at in terms of the military support, it seemed to be very modest. Mr. Maduro, in his speech at the presidential palace yesterday, said that basically the rebels in this story seized 8 tanquetas, these big armored cars, only 8, and they took them to the Carlota airbase, and that there were really a handful of soldiers involved. Now, Mr. Guaido says there were more than that, but it does seem as though, although he managed to draw thousands of people onto the streets, and it was thousands rather than hundreds of thousands, the key element here is that they did not turn the military and they just don't seem to have got the military support that they need to pull off their aims.
And do we know whether that was an error of judgment on Mr. Guaido's part? Did he think he had the support of the army and in fact it turned out that he actually didn't have? Or was he really taking a chance that by making the gesture yesterday morning with Leopoldo López that somehow this would sort of gather some momentum of its own?
Well, I think that's the really interesting question, and there are lots of theories about this. One is that the Guaido team simply overplayed their hand. They thought they had more military support than they had, and it didn't materialize. There are other theories that maybe this action was planned for later in the week, possibly today or possibly tomorrow. May the 2nd has emerged as a day when supposedly this action might have happened, and that for some reason, and we don't know what that reason is, Mr. Guaido and Mr. López decided to bring it forward by a couple of days. That wrong-footed a lot of people who were supposed to join them. And if you look at the noise that's been coming out of the United States over the last day or so, John Bolton has said repeatedly that there were key members of the Maduro regime who were due to join Mr. Guaido and Leopoldo López. They had agreed to do so, and for some reason they didn't. Now, whether this is to do with the fact that the timing was changed or some element changed on the ground. It seems as though there was some miscalculation, but it's very difficult to actually pin down what that miscalculation was.
Now, you mentioned the US element of this story, Gideon, the fact that John Bolton and other senior officials yesterday were out talking about what had gone on and suggesting, as you say, that there were senior figures close to Mr. Maduro who were ready to come over to the other side, as it were. What role has the US been playing throughout this attempt by Mr. Guaido to cement his presidency against Mr. Maduro? How has Washington been handling this whole crisis?
Well, I think their main tactic has been to try and divide the military. And so far, they've been relatively unsuccessful in doing that. We saw this back in February when the US orchestrated an attempt to take humanitarian aid across the borders from Colombia and from Brazil. And time and time again, the US were imploring the Venezuelan military to desert Mr. Maduro and come over to their side. And it didn't really happen. There were some defections, but they were fairly minor. That has been their main tactic, to try and divide the military. And that's exactly what we saw from the speeches from John Bolton yesterday. Other than that, it's not really clear what they can do. They've been threatening military action. They've said that military action remains an option. It's on the table. But of course, the more times that they say that without actually following through, the more times you can imagine that Mr. Maduro is sitting in Caracas thinking, well, this is an empty threat and the US is actually not serious about it. Other than that, there has been regional support for Juan Guaido, and the US has been key in pulling that together. So you now have most of the countries, or certainly most of the major countries in Latin America, supporting him. But other than trying to divide the military, which so far has been a relatively unsuccessful tactic, it's not clear what more the United States can do. And then just one final thought on what the US has been doing and could do in the future: sanctions. They've imposed sanctions since the middle of 2017. But since Juan Guaido started this challenge to Mr. Maduro back in January, those sanctions have certainly been toughened.
The supposition, I suppose, is that the loyalty that Mr. Maduro's been able to secure from the military in Venezuela has come at a price. He's having to give the military what they want to secure their support.
That's right. And I think the hope among the Guaido team is that at some point he will just not be able to continue to do that. We know that the support for the military is financial support, economic support, that they have basically been, in many cases, bought over to continue supporting the Maduro government. And so one might think, particularly now that stiff US sanctions have been imposed on the oil industry and the revenues that are flowing towards the Maduro government are starting to dry up, then one might think that Mr. Maduro will run out of money to buy off the military, and at that point they might turn, but that still seems some way off.
And so that brings us to today. We got to the end of what was expected by the Guaido camp to be a decisive day. It ended, as you said, with Leopoldo López, the opposition leader, in the Spanish embassy, and I think Mr. Guaido in an undisclosed location. What happens to those two specifically and more generally today? There's going to be another attempt to generate more action in favour of Mr. Guaido on the streets today, I suppose.
Yeah, in terms of what happens to Leopoldo López, he's in the Spanish embassy partly because he has Spanish roots. There is a chance that he might be able to get a Spanish passport and leave the country. That's one possibility. As for Mr. Guaido, I would expect him to appear at some point during the day, during these demonstrations. He had already called for the biggest demonstration in Venezuela's history for May the 1st before the events of yesterday, and he says he's going through with that. In some ways, the scenario for today is even more worrying than it was yesterday, because basically yesterday we had Mr. Guaido's supporters out on the streets. Today, we have the prospect of Mr. Guaido's supporters and Mr. Maduro's supporters on the streets. So it could be a fraught day, I think.
Many outsiders, I think, will find it a very odd situation that we have Mr. Maduro, obviously intent on proclaiming himself the president of Venezuela, and Mr. Guaido believing that the constitutional order in Venezuela has been interrupted and that therefore he is the legitimate president. These two rival camps, not just in the same country, but in the same city. Is it possible that Mr. Maduro could move more dramatically against Mr. Guaido, arresting him, taking him into custody? Is that something that's a possibility, do you think?
I think it is a possibility. I certainly think it's more likely now than it was even 2 or 3 days ago. I think Mr. Maduro will be thinking, okay, I faced a coup attempt. In the end, it wasn't a big coup attempt. It didn't seem to involve many members of the military, certainly senior members, and it didn't actually bring that many people out onto the streets in support of it. And so maybe he will be emboldened, and maybe over the next few days, or the next few weeks, depending on what happens today, as much as anything else, maybe he will decide that the time has come to move against Mr. Guaido and to try and arrest him. We've already seen that he has arrested key figures in the Guaido alternative administration. It's a risk, of course, because the United States has warned him several times to leave Mr. Guaido alone. So it's a risk that the US might finally react if he does try to arrest him. But I would have thought that Mr. Guaido's position is certainly weaker than it was, and that there is more of a chance that in the coming days or possibly the coming weeks, Nicolas Maduro might try and go after him and try and arrest him.
We will see. Gideon Long, thank you very much for joining me.
That was James Wilson, Deputy World News Editor, talking to Gideon Long, our Andean correspondent. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you're not already a subscriber and would like to discover more FT content, you can find our latest subscription offers at ft.com/offer.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.